Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, I am thrilled to say, joined by a friend and colleague, a much admired colleague at that, of many, many years. Her name is Michelle Van Cleve, and she has served our government in numerous capacities, both in the legislative branch and in the executive branch. She most prominently served as the National Counterintelligence Executive for President George W. Bush from 2003 to 2006. She is currently a driving force behind a relatively new institution in Washington, D.C., the Jack Kemp Foundation, and directs its Kemp Legacy Project. Michelle Van Cleve, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Frank. It's good to be with you this morning, and thank you for all you do for the country.
Oh, well, it's a mutual admiration society, needless to say. Let me just ask, because it is on the front pages of every paper in the country and getting 24/7 coverage, your thoughts. As an intelligence professional in a previous life or two, what do you make of the so-called torture report out of the United States Senate's Intelligence Committee's majority, let me emphasize, majority staff?
I thought it was an unfortunate decision on the part of the chairman of the committee to release that very one-sided and selectively written report. It was a blow to America, to the CIA, to be sure, but to all of us, because it was written in such a partisan and damning way, and not following genuine, fair, analytic processes. You know, Frank, they wrote that report, which purported to criticize CIA's interrogation of high-value detainees without ever once interviewing a single individual with CIA responsible for that program and for the product of that program. I just don't see how one can responsibly write a report with that methodology.
I guess I'd like to ask you, because you've been so steeped in the ways of Washington for so long, Michelle Van Cleve, to address sort of three different pieces of this, it seems to me. One, the merits of the case, what was actually found by the majority, from which the minority in the committee, by the way, dissented, from which the intelligence community has dissented, from which former directors and deputy directors of the agency have dissented. But talk a little bit, if you could, about kind of the merits of the findings, and then maybe about the process. You've addressed that a little bit, but, you know, what it means that we've got such a narrow report in terms of the authorship and support, and the repercussions of it, if you would touch on each of those.
Well, I, of course, haven't had the opportunity to read all 6,000 pages of the classified report, but I've certainly, I guess not, but I believe that the methodology, the approach here was to review some of the specific so-called enhanced interrogation techniques that were used to get at information that detainees might have, and then in turn to look at specific instances to inquire whether the intelligence derived thereby was of value to the United States. And I think, sadly, you know, reading the critiques and observations of others who've had the chance to read the entire report, to include the three past directors of CIA and deputy directors of CIA, all who joined together to criticize the report, that it was done in a way to work toward a predetermined end. And the predetermined end was to say none of this intelligence that was derived through the use of these techniques, all approved by the Department of Justice, by the way, were of value to the United States. And that simply does not comport with the facts as the CIA and the users of that derivative intelligence report them, that in fact some of this information was crucial to saving American lives.
The business of countering these jihadist threats most immediately, it is a challenge for intelligence broadly defined, but it is particularly a problem, I gather, for sort of counterintelligence as well, to discern what is being done inside our own country and the threats that we may be confronting. How important is it that we preserve and utilize techniques of interrogation, perhaps not in much application, the so-called enhanced techniques, but the practice of interrogation itself seems to have fallen of late into disuse at best and perhaps been dispensed with altogether.
Well, I am... I think that one can have differences of views on the extent to which enhanced interrogation can move forward before it crosses a line into morally reprehensible activities. And I think people of goodwill can reach different judgments about that based on the circumstances as well. And you have to remember where we were in the wake of September 11th and the horrible attack on this country and the need to get information very quickly. But even in those exigent circumstances, the techniques that were employed went through rigorous and repeated legal reviews before they were approved.
But I guess what I'm getting at, Michelle Van Cleve, is are we still in need, as an intelligence community, of being able to gather human intelligence through the practice of interrogation, whether it's, with these more exotic practices or not, just the very business of in being able to interrogate, something that, as I say, I think the Obama administration has largely dispensed with.
Well, one cannot interrogate or question individuals that one does not have in hand. So once the and let me say there was certainly a change in approach when President Obama took office in pursuing terrorist operatives throughout the world. It changed from trying to acquire people in order to get at information and then using in many cases these drone strikes simply preemptively to kill them. In that case, you don't have an opportunity to elicit more information, to gain more insight into their operations and their activities worldwide. But you make an excellent point that we do need rely greatly upon human intelligence that we find from individuals, whether it's through in custody questioning or through the old techniques of just acquiring human intelligence. And that we look to CIA to do. And CIA is out there in the world, and many people in very dangerous circumstances trying to go after this information on behalf of keeping America safe. And we put them in impossible situations when a report like this gets released and includes, among other things, names and clues about who our operatives are and how they operate and where they may be operating, that enemies of the United States, intelligence organizations, foreign governments, as well as terrorist groups, will look at in granular detail to try to find these people and to defeat our purposes, America's purposes in the world.
Michelle Van Cleve, what are your thoughts about the announced decision of the Director of National Intelligence to merge the business you used to be in for the Bush administration, counterintelligence, with security?
Yes, just to make this distinction, the business I was in was going after spies rather than going after terrorists. I want to make that point. But the merger of that organization, which I led, with all the security responsibilities of the federal government, is one that I fear will threaten to overwhelm the counterintelligence mission with the very voracious demands of security. It's, if you forgive me for being a little esoteric, but these missions of security and counterintelligence, while complementary, are also sometimes in conflict in the way that they're run, because security requires gates and guards and protective measures that cuts off any interaction with a potential adversary as a way of protecting things, whereas counterintelligence, by its very nature, requires an engagement, a controlled engagement with the adversary to understand what he's doing and in order to be able to find ways to defeat what he's doing. So these things are in opposition.
Your leadership in that vein in the past has been deeply appreciated, as is the work that you're doing now at the Kemp Foundation. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, syndicated columnist Diana West joins us to talk about how Europe can be seen as a warning of what's in store for us at the hands of the jihadists. Straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.